Revelation chapter 3 in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. The Lord is saying, I know your record and what you are doing, and you are known to be alive, but in reality, you are dead. Jesus said this to a New Testament church. I wonder why it happened. If we would be honest, we might ask ourselves the question, am I dead the way this church was dead? Church is made up of individuals. Am I dead? According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says this, to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is to be separated from that which is good. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, talking to the widows there, the Lord says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I just want us to do some introspection this evening. If something is wrong, there's two ways to approach it. We can do an examination while we are alive, or we can do an autopsy after we're dead. I want us to do an examination while we are still alive. If you and I are sincere, if we mean business with God and business with each other, we will keep these things and we will listen when God speaks to our heart. What I want to talk to you about tonight is signs of a dead church, okay? I'm not suggesting that we are a dead church, but I want us to deal because probably one of these things will apply to us. So I want us to examine these and take some corrective measures. The first sign of a dead church is when there is no burden for souls. I would to God that we have a burden even close to Paul's burden for souls. Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Let's begin reading in verse 1. He says this to a local New Testament church. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What Paul is saying is, I have such a burden for the Jewish people, I could wish myself to be accursed. And this is not some kind of a spiritual baby that is talking. This is the Apostle Paul. And he said, I could wish myself that I would die and go to hell if my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, would be saved. Folks, that's having a burden for lost people. I want you to go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, we'll not go there, but here's what it says. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be a matter of concern to each one of us that people that we know we are able to share the gospel with them and that they are being saved. I want you to go with me to Psalm 126. And you know exactly what it says. Psalms 126. Look at verses 5 and 6, I'm sorry. The Bible says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If there's no sowing in tears, there's no reaping in joy. I just want us to examine ourselves. How much do we really do this? How much do we do this in our family when we know somebody that is lost? And how does it affect us? Where there is no burden for souls, a church is either dying or dead. Second of all, when there is no hunger for the Word of God. Go with me to Psalms 119. Back up just a little bit in your Bible. Psalms 119. Look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's the word of God to our souls. Okay. Now go back to the beginning of this chapter, verses 9 and verse 11. And this is so important for those in our family that are young. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is how a young man stays straight, by taking heed according to the word of God. Look at verse 11 here. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Folks, there has to be a hunger for the Word of God in our life. There ought to be a thing when you open the Bible, and I hope you're on some kind of a schedule to get through the Bible every year. It will do your heart good. You look forward to it. You know what I've found? The more I read the Bible, the more I want to read the Bible. The less I read the Bible, the less I want to read the Bible. That's the way it works. And if you have a real appetite for it, it will be good for you. Let me just say this. A church has no right to exist where God's word is not honored from the pulpit and from the pew. Signs of a dead church are the signs of a dead Christian. Third, where there is no hunger for Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship in the Bible is centered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which unites our souls deeper than anything else is our lives centered around Christ and the cross. I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is impossible to be a Christian and not want and desire and seek Christian fellowship. It is impossible for that to happen. There needs to be a warmth in our fellowship. Tina and I knew a gal in Texas when we were living in Central Texas right out of Bible college in Killeen. She was just an old country girl, built kind of stocky just like this. And her name was Retha Ralston. And she told us one time, there's just two things that I want in life. I want to be loved and I want to love people. And I'll tell you what, she was one of those gals that when she came up to hug you, she was a bone crusher. She would grab you and you didn't need to go to the chiropractor after that because every vertebra in your back just got... What a sweet, sweet lady. She said one time, I told my husband, her husband's name was Tom Ralston. She said, Tom, you haven't told me lately you love me. He said, well, I told you that before we got married. That was years and years ago. We need to do that more often than just every once in a while like that. We need Christian fellowship. Fourth, when there is no liberty of the Holy Spirit in our church. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is the very thing, ladies and gentlemen, that we need the most and we miss the least. That's the liberty of the Holy Spirit when God is working in this congregation and he's speaking to your heart and he's speaking to my heart. We need the liberty of the Holy Spirit as he passes through this place. It's the thing that we need the most, but we miss the least. I guarantee you, if we received an offering and after two or three weeks we didn't get any money in, I'll tell you what, we would have a church meeting. We'd say, something's going on here. I don't know what it is, but we're not getting any money in. Let me tell you something, folks. Money is not the bottom line, but I'll tell you what is the bottom line, and that's the Spirit of the Lord in the congregation. And we need to understand where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we need that so very much. Fifth, sign of a dead church is when there is no spirit of prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, the Lord says, and I will answer thee. Go with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There needs to be the spirit of prayer in this church. I am so thankful that every Sunday morning we have a group of men that meet and we simply pray for the congregation. We pray for special requests that we always take before that. It is a good time. It is a spirit of prayer that is there, and it does every one of our hearts good when that happens. And then last of all, when there is no spirit of sacrifice. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And look at verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let me just ask you something. Are you willing to go without some things that missionaries may get to the field and folks be saved? Are you willing to do without some things? That's what it's talking about when it says deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Let's pray. Father, once again, how very thankful we are for your wonderful word and how the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and speaks to a child of God's heart, and it changes us and it makes us better and it makes us, once again, more like Christ. And dear Father, that ought to be one of the deep desires of our life, is to be more like the one that loved us and died for us on the cross. Thank you, dear Father, for this time together. Thank you that we can open your word and it speaks to us and it helps us and it changes us. Dear Father, I just ask that you might speak to people's hearts during this invitation, and that we might always say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I am willing to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.